This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, a fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My newest novel, Diamond Stained, is out on Amazon and free in Kindle Unlimited. To escape his dark mistakes, Oban must wield his magical blade again. Life has gone wrong for Oban. Once a respected palace guard, now he sells his sword as a bandit. Trapped by his mistakes, he has no hope. Until one young woman sees more in him, Avena, passionate and headstrong, has no patience for bullies. Dedicated to healing, she struggles to escape her own bleak past. In Oban, she sees a chance for them both to escape. In Cash, a city of poverty and vice, the two must find trust in the other to protect those they care about. Dark sorcerers, underworld crime bosses, and brutal bandits scheme to use and destroy them. Can they polish clean their stained souls? You'll be enthralled by this exciting fantasy story because the flawed characters will keep you reading. Get it now. Today, I'm joined by Andy Pelequin. He's the best-selling indie fantasy author of The Silent Champions, Hero of Darkness, and now he's jumped into military space opera with Assassination Protocol.
All right, today we're joined by Andy Pelequin. How are you doing today, Andy?
I'm doing good. You know, it's Friday, or are we, when we're recording this, let's say it's Friday. So, you know, one more day of work and then it's the weekend.
Oh, nice, nice. How is quarantine treating you right now?
You know, there's really only like one or two small changes in my life where it's like I go and see friends maybe once a week, twice a week. Now I can't do that. Otherwise, oh, my gym closed. So there's that. But otherwise, it's, you know, still sitting indoors 8 to 10 hours a day writing, doing, you know, normal things, puzzles, video games, pretty much same.
Yeah, no, that's me too. So people's pets, they say a lot about them. I'm just curious if you have any.
I have children, teenagers, oh, so I definitely don't need any pets.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. All right. So I know you as a fantasy author.
All right.
You've jumped into military space opera now, I hear.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a lot of fun. It's like military sci-fi with sort of a space opera thriller feel with just a tiny bit of cyberpunk flavor thrown in because that's the kind of author I am.
So how has it been writing Assassination Protocol? How has that been different from writing fantasy?
So it's something that happens with a story that's like really, really, you know, you're passionate about, where it just kind of flows out of you.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And this one, it was like I was struggling with the last book in my Silent Champion series, the last March, and like it was like pulling teeth. So then this idea popped into my head, and so for the first time in my author career, I was like, all right, I'm gonna put this other book on hold and I'm gonna go write something else that creatively feels more exciting. And I wrote the first book in 3.5 weeks. I wrote the prequel novel in, I think, 3 weeks, and then I wrote books 2 and 3. Like between September and December of 2019, I wrote 4 books. Like, that was just how well the story was flowing out of me, because it was just such an interesting character, an interesting new world to create, and it was really, really exciting. It has happened before in fantasy, but it's been a while since that's happened in fantasy, just because the stories that I've been telling, you know, I've been telling them for a while.
Yeah, yeah. You get to that, you've been in these characters for a while, and you're starting to I remember that when I was writing my 5th book for the Storm Below, where it was really a slog to get through to the end.
Mainly because there's so much that you have to tie off. Like right now, yesterday I started outlining the last 6 books in the series. It's going to be 12 in total. And now is when I have to start tying off all the, you know, the plot threads and the loose ends and things that I opened up in the first 6 books and the ones that I want to continue to open up throughout, and sort of bring everything full circle and come up with this big badass ending to this character's journey. And that's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, that is. I know what you mean. That last Storm Below book, it was a monster.
Yeah.
So, what do you really like about your character? Tell us about your character, in fact. Who is your main character of the Assassination Protocol?
So the main character is Nolan Garrett. He is a former Silver Guard, which is sort of like a ranger slash Green Beret in this the sci-fi universe. They've got, cutting-edge weaponry, cutting-edge tech, and they do a lot of sort of black ops missions, covert insertions, high-value hits, things like that. And so then this is all before, during his military career, and about 5 years before the book starts, he gets hit by a grenade, and the grenade, a bit of shrapnel lodges in his spine, and he's a paraplegic. So he gets medded out of the army, and he basically goes from someone who is at the peak of his, at the prime of his career, to someone in a wheelchair with nothing beyond, the military pension. And so he goes to a pretty dark place, basically gets hooked on drugs, and when we meet him in the prequel story, he's basically at his rock bottom. And throughout the story, the prequel, someone sort of lifts him up out of the gutter. Literally, she finds him in a gutter, cleans him up, gets him back on his feet with like cutting edge technology that bypasses his spine and controls sort of like a suit of armor directly from his brain, like a cerebral implant. So he can walk around. His legs aren't actually moving. The armor's doing the work for him. And so you have this the assassination protocol. It's about 5 years after she pulls him out of the gutter, after he's well on his journey to recovery. He's been sober for about 4 years, almost 5 years. He's been working for sort of a CIA type organization, running hits for them, taking out their targets. And he's got, instead of just a regular implant in his brain, he's got an AI in his brain that does the work of, moving his suit for him, but also works as, as a hacker, as surveillance, like sort of his weapon to be a more effective operative for the CIA type organization. And so that's who he is. But then he's got this really interesting character type because he's so used to being in a team. During his he was a special ops soldier for about 15 years, so he was part of a team for a long time. But now he's been on his own for about 6 years, and that's sort of like, it's sort of, he wants a team, he's used to fighting with the team, but he's been such a lone wolf for so long that he doesn't, it's hard to get back into that sort of thing. So it's this interesting, complex character where I get to play with, at one point he can be, shooting people up in full armor, and the next chapter he's back, in his wheelchair and fairly vulnerable. So it's this really fun dichotomy to play with.
Oh yeah, that does sound like a very interesting story. I mean, you're a great author. I really like your Dark Hunter series,
Thank you.
and your Queen of the Thief Guild, or the Night Guild, I'm sorry. That was a phenomenal three books.
That was a lot of fun to write. That was those books were ones that just flowed out of me. Especially, actually, one of the scenes in Queen of the Night Guild, the third book, where she finally confronts sort of the passive aggressive asshole that she's been, that's, been making her life hell for about a book and a half. I wrote that whole scene like 2,500 words in an hour because it was just so much fun to let them unload on each other. Full anger, nothing holding back. It was fun.
Yes, it is. It is always great when the words are flowing. So, what were the challenges in writing the Assassination Protocol versus like the fantasy that you have been writing? Are there any pitfalls that you found in writing sci-fi or anything like that?
Oh, absolutely. You'll get a lot more analytical and critical readers in sci-fi than you will in fantasy. Like, people will analyze fantasy for sure. They'll write back and say, this doesn't make any sense. But with sci-fi, you're talking futuristic technology. So, there are people, like, I just spent 2 hours yesterday talking with a rocket scientist about this, sort of spaceship prison that I wanted to make, and unfortunately it didn't work because the physics of it all is too complex for my poor little writer's brain, so I have to go with something else. Like it is so much more complex, and because sci-fi is the future of current understanding of science, science will have progressed so much. So people who are, you know, scientists will, you know, they're much more analytical than people who pick up a fantasy book and they read about magic. You know, they can't really speculate on the science of magic beyond what's presented in the book. So it's a lot more complex in that sense. But on the flip side, what's easier is that you don't really have to explain a lot. Like if I say sniper rifle, most people kind of get it. If I say wheelchair, I don't have to explain, you know, where the wheelchair came from, why no, you know, not everybody in the fantasy world has this wheeled chair, you know, just right, stuff like that. Right. A lot of the technology is so much simpler to explain.
Okay. So this is going to be a 12 book series?
Yes, sir. Plus the prequel. So 13.
Plus the prequel. All right. And you're just getting them out there.
Yeah. Well, I submitted book 5 to the editor yesterday, and I finished writing book 6 last week. So I've got 6 more. I'm hoping to finish them all before the end of the year, but we'll see if that happens.
Yeah, it's like every time I turn around, there's a no Andy Pelliquin novel on Amazon, and I'm like, I still need to read The Silent Champions.
That one is going to be long. Like it's in those 6 books, it's almost 1 million words. And these 12 books are going to probably be around 1 million words, like half as many books, but twice as long.
All right. So what was one of the hardest things to write in Assassination Protocol, like a difficult scene or just a challenging part of the story to tell?
So at one point he nearly relapses. He, you know, some bad shit happens and he feels super guilty, and guilt is a major trigger for him. So he basically he's holding the needle over his arm and, you know, willing to press the injector button. And then something happens to stop him. But writing sort of through the emotionality of the scene, both before when he's going from, you know, I'm a clean recovering drug addict to, okay, I'm going to shoot up because life is just terrible, to, okay, I feel super bad, but then I'm not going to do it. I'm going to fight through it. Like both of those scenes, you know, the digging deep and then digging himself out. Both of those were pretty complex because I don't understand a lot about the addiction mindset and mentality. So I had to talk to people who are familiar with it, both recovering addicts and people who work on the like the therapist side of the 12-step program.
Okay. Yeah, you always got to get that research in. Yep. So we have our main character. Are there any side characters that are like fun to write or kind of steal the scenes in the story?
So the main character is Nolan. The sort of a secondary main character is Taya, the AI in his brain.
Okay.
And what's fun about her is that she is sort of a straight man in terms of comedy. Like she's an AI, so she doesn't have, let's say, the algorithm or the programming for humor. So right. When Nolan says, I'm all ears, she doesn't understand that, you know, human thing, or when he cracks a joke. But then over the course of the series, she does sort of, you know, she figures out humor, or she through interacting with other characters, she starts to develop a sense of humor. So like in the last book, she says, you know, yeah, you know, I've raised his chances of survival by 32.8%, which means he now has a 32.9% chance of survival on his own. You know, like just cracking jokes like that, and because of the interactions with other people. Up until basically Assassination Protocol, Nolan's pretty much been on his own. So there hasn't been that interaction, that human interactivity. But now that she's seeing these other people interact with him, it's helping her sort of crack the code of humor and human, you know, emotions and inflections and stuff like that. So she's really fun to write if for that.
All right. Yeah. Those type of characters are always fun when you can have the side character that can really bounce off your main character and kind of, I always find that I write characters that steal scenes and, you know, it's never my main character, but always the supporting characters.
Yeah. Well, I have this other character, Bex. She's sort of the Silver Guard, a special forces person like him that he finds on his doorstep and helps, you know, clean her up. And, you know, she's an addict too, like him. So their sort of journey together is a major part of the story. And she has just the best lines of the book. Like she is one of those, you know, military types. So she does not watch her mouth. So it is just I have never ever thought or said some of the stuff that she's thought and said, but it has been so much fun to write her because I can literally get away with saying anything, and it's exactly the kind of person she is. Like, she cracks jokes about his, you know, his wonky legs because he's in a wheelchair, you know, and it's not an insult, but it's just their way of, you know, interacting. It is really, really fun to say all kinds of stuff with her.
Yeah, that is really good stuff. So you are any, is there any scenes that you really liked to write in it? Like any just amazing scenes that were just, you were thrilled that you got to write this? Anything like that in the Assassination Protocol or one of your other series?
Every book kind of has these scenes that are just really fun, but Assassination Protocol, there was this amazing moment where the character's riding a skimmer bike, which is basically like one of those bikes from Tron, but, you know, more motorcycle shaped. And he's riding, he's chasing this, you know, ship that's trying to escape. And he's got this smart metal, which is basically a bunch of nanites that can sort of shift and move. And, you know, his AI controls them. So basically he stands with one foot on the handlebars of the bike and one foot on the seat, and his armor with this smart metal like locks him into place, and the AI takes control of the motorbike and drives, so he can take this shot standing on a motorbike, you know, a kilometer long shot, which obviously is just absolutely ridiculous in real life, but because it made sense in the sci-fi context, I was able to do it, and I just laughed so hard when I figured out that I could make this work, and it was actually believable.
Oh, that is always a good moment when you figure out how to crack something. You're like, I want to do this in a book, but now I have to figure out how it makes sense and flows logically. And then when it clicks into place, you're like, all right, this is going to be great. So let's switch over. Let's talk about the Silent Champions a bit. It's a military fantasy, right?
Yep.
All right. So what exactly is it about? Who are the Silent Champions?
So the I started writing Assassination Protocol because of all the research I did for Silent Champions. The Silent Champions is basically a special forces unit where you've got the captain, you've got a rifleman who is a swordsman who's very versatile, you've got a heavy gunner, or in this case, a giant axe wielder, demolitions, who's an alchemist, a sniper, who is a super accurate longbowman. You've got the medic, who is someone who has sort of these magic healing stones. And it's basically this team of people that are brought from all different military careers, as it were, and assembled to form this special forces team to operate behind the scenes to win this battle. So basically it's their side is like the Roman Legion versus 7 and 8 feet tall barbarians that are sort of like a mix between Vikings and Celts. And so in the beginning of the book, Shields and Shadow, the main character, Captain Erevan, his whole company gets massacred. And it's this sort of ambush that a shift in tactics that they weren't prepared for or that they couldn't have countered with their traditional Legion tactics. So after the whole company gets massacred, he's the lone survivor, and he gets, you know, he's wounded, dying. He gets hauled back to this sort of secret camp in the middle of his kingdom, and the Duke, sort of second in command of the kingdom, says, all right, I'm putting together this team of special operators, and I want you to lead them. And so, like, the Duke puts together this team, but it's up to Erevan to figure out how to basically, you know, complete the mission. So the first mission is just escorting the Duke to a meeting with sort of an allied clan, but that turns into a battle where it's the six of them and, say, 15 or 20 friendly soldiers against 100 enemies. And, you know, if it was just legions against this many enemies, it would be over. But because of this, you know, the tactics and their skills and their strange way of thinking and things like that, they managed to win. And then it kind of just goes from there, where every book has, I think, two missions to a certain degree, and you see how they tackle them. So the first one is this battle where it's actually fairly evenly matched, but the enemy commander is smarter than the Legion commander. So they're going to lose. They're about to be defeated, and then Erevan and his men, they kind of turn the tide with, you know, smart planning and tactics and stuff. And the second one, they have to liberate a besieged fortress. where the enemy outnumbers the allied clan, you know, or the legion soldiers by 3-1. And so everyone has sort of these missions, these big epic stake missions, and it's 7 of them versus thousands of enemies. And sometimes they have, you know, soldiers that they can work with. Sometimes they have to pull it off all themselves. And it's just really fun to throw these modern special forces missions at them, but in the context of a fantasy world and fantasy campaigns and military and fighting styles.
All right, that does sound really good. I really need to get the time to read this. You ever feel like there's like so many good books out there and there's just not enough time?
Absolutely, especially now, like, you know, writing so much. I get to listen to audiobooks while I work out, while I drive, cook, clean, things like that. I don't think I've read an actual book in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have to make time, like carve out like 15 minutes here to just read a book for a little bit.
Nice.
And that's about it. Yeah. But yeah, I do listen to audiobooks. So what do you have coming up in your writing? You got the next 6 books of the Cerberus series. Anything else in the work?
Well, so at the end of the Darkblade series, in Darkblade Savior, there was this pretty world-changing revelation that I kind of have to follow up on, not only the character's discovery about, you know, some very personal matters, but then also, you know, the grand, you know, literally the world is going to end if we don't stop this thing from happening mission. So it's going to take another 7 books to tell that story properly. Yeah.
Okay. And, yeah. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I want to know what that certain thing is that our certain character is looking for.
Yeah. I'm super excited. I don't even know how they're going, you know, what that thing is going to be like, or how they're going to interact, or all of that. Like, it's just still so up in the air because of the other projects I've had going on. But I've got, you know, more or less the ideas. I know how I'm going to end it. And actually, that was introduced in the 5th book of the Heirs of Destiny series, Ascension of Death. That series was intended to be a standalone, but literally the second to last chapter or something, this character makes a discovery. You know, she's been on this journey of discovering her own powers, magical powers, essentially throughout the whole series. And then in the last or second to last chapter of hers, she makes this massive discovery that I didn't see coming right up until I sat down and wrote the chapter. And then after that, it was just like, something went off, a light bulb went off, and it was like, holy shit, I just figured out how the hunter is going to do what he needs to do. And so now in book 8, he's going to go to the place where this character is, and they're going to cross paths, and he's going to find out about her abilities, and it's going to ultimately end up changing things and shaping the end of the story. So it's super exciting, but I won't be able to start working on that probably until the end of this year.
All right. Well, that's something for us to look forward to.
And it's cool because I get to bring back all of the other characters too.
Oh yeah, that's always great. So it's been great, like, talking
he gets
to you
across the sea. He gets to cross the sea to you know, to the continent of Fel,
all right,
where the military series is taking place, and he gets to run into all of those people who survived the story 20 years later or something. And then he gets to cross paths with all the people in the Heirs of Destiny series, and he gets to team up again with the Queen of Thieves. And, you know, like, it's fun. It's sort of like a farewell tour for all of the series that I've written so far through his journey.
Yes, that is awesome. I mean, there's some really great stories you've set in this world, and it's great that there's more stories out there to read in it. I can't wait for it. Where can our listeners find your works and follow you and learn more about you?
Okay. So you can find me on my website, andypeliquin.com, on Amazon under Andy Peliquin, my Facebook, Andy Peliquin. I'm also the co-host of the Fantasy Fiends podcast, which happens every Thursday night at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. We go live on YouTube, and then the podcast episodes are uploaded to Podbean and iTunes and stuff. And I hang out in the Indie Fantasy Addicts group, the Fantasy Sci-Fi Focus group. Facebook's probably the best place to get in touch with me, or just shoot me an email.
All right. Well, that sounds good. It was great talking with you, Andy.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Yep.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.